5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0, ignition, liftoff.
Hi everybody, I'm Brian Clapp, Director of Content for WorkinSports.com, and this is the Work in Sports Podcast. Imagine for a second you had complete clarity in your life at, let's say, 12 years old. You knew what you wanted. You wanted to be, let's say, a veterinarian. You studied, took classes, interned, worked and worked and worked to refine your craft. It became a big part of you. It defined you. You felt identified by it. While in high school, your friends knew you wanted to be a veterinarian. Your teachers also knew and helped push you further into your goals. Guidance counselors helped steer you towards the best veterinary schools, and you were accepted because you were focused, dedicated, knew what you wanted, and were driven to succeed. You could see how your future was going to play out. You knew what you were going after. You could see what it looked like. You could visualize it all. But then, in a blink, things changed. Let's say you were in a car accident. You lost the use of your right hand, your dominant hand. You wouldn't be able to perform surgical procedures, examine animals, diagnose issues. It was gone. Your dream of being a veterinarian, the focus of your last 10 years, poof, gone. What would you do? Everything you had pushed for, the dominant focus of your life, was now physically unachievable. Would you wallow, get depressed, question your future? Probably all those things. I know I would. Recalibrating would be hard. You'd be forced to change in an instant after spending nearly a decade working towards something that felt like purpose. How unfair, right? Easy to blame, get angry, lose focus, and fall into this trap. Very easy. This week's guest, Dior Guignard, didn't want to be a veterinarian. He had a very different dream, and it was taken from him tragically. He had to change his focus, figure out a new purpose, and drive forward with the same intensity he had reserved for his now unattainable dream. Years later, Dior is a player manager for the NFLPA and a 2018 Forbes magazine 30 Under 30 award recipient. He took tragedy and turned it into a new, unexpected chapter. But let's hear the rest from the man himself. Here's Dior Guignard, player manager for the NFL Players Association. Hey, Dior, how's it going today?
It's going great, man. Thanks for reaching out. Thanks for having me.
Oh, this is great. You are in a side of the business I'm not sure a lot of people know about, and you're dealing with the athletes on a day-to-day basis, a lot of different types of athletes. So I think it's a really cool field that we can get into a fun conversation about. But before we get into the nuts and bolts of your role with the NFLPA, I think it's really important to give our audience some background into you, the man behind the job. Mm-hmm. Before you got into play, it's cool.
It's been an interesting ride to this point in my professional career.
Yeah.
And so I hail from Prince George's County, Maryland, born and raised and still living there in Lower Maryland. How I got started. In high school, I was, the stereotypical, wanted to play professional football. All I cared about was football when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And so a diehard Redskins fan growing up. So I'm like, at some point I'm going to play safety for the Washington Redskins. I'll be the first 5'9" safety playing. And that ran a 4.8. And so ended up going off playing football through high school, and didn't get the looks I want in terms of offers to big colleges that I thought I could, but I wasn't that good, to be honest. And so I ended up going to a small D3 school in Maryland, Fallsburg State.
Yep.
And so playing football, I didn't play my first year because my senior year, last game of the season, I had tore my labrum.
Okay.
So it was a year of rehab. So I sat out the whole first year. I hated the school. The weather was terrible and I was just homesick all the time.
Right.
And so the, after the game season ended, the next day we decided to play a game of tackle football. So me and my teammates, the next day after the season ended, decided to play a game of tackle football on the field.
Which doesn't sound smart.
And so, that was not some thinking, looking back now, it wasn't a good idea at all.
Yeah.
with no equipment, no anything. Ended up actually running head on with one of my teammates while playing. I was knocked unconscious on the field. And when I finally woke up and came to, there was a helicopter that I landed on the field.
Oh, jeez.
And so I'm groggy. I could barely see. I didn't really know what was going on. So I was rushed to a hospital in Pennsylvania. On the flight over, I actually fell into a coma. Woke back up when I got to the hospital after they did a CAT scan. And the doctor told me that I had fractured my skull.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it was kind of crazy and traumatic. So when I cracked my skull, it pierced part of my brain. And I was slowly going brain dead. So they had to do emergency surgery. They had to call my mom, ask for permission.
Oh my God.
And so that was difficult. Yeah, my mom was two and a half hours away. So they had to ask for permission in case anything went wrong. Ended up waking up out of a medically induced coma, and my life changed. I could no longer play sports. All I knew, I could no longer do. And the rehab with that, so... With the rehab, they talked to me about, you know, some of the challenges that I would face. So I was suffering from cognitive post-traumatic stress disorder. So that deals with, like, you know, not only just the cognitive piece. So my memory loss was there. I had to get my concentration back. But,
right.
You know, the emotional toll. So the stress, the depression. I was battling the suicidal thoughts on a daily basis for a year.
Yeah.
And then trying to figure out what else I was passionate about. I was 18 at the time. You know, all I knew was football.
Yeah.
So transferred to Boise State. Yeah, ended up opening up to one of my advisors there who really mentored me and kind of guided me and taught me about kind of filling that void that football left, the passion I had. And so when I was going through rehab and when I was going through a lot of depression and my suicidal thoughts, I got into writing. And so I was like, you know what? Let me change my major to communications and writing, since that's something that I developed to deal with the PTSD and also try to marry that with sports. And so I landed my first internship in college with a PR company that represented players that were born in my area that played in the NFL.
Okay.
And just to get my feet wet, so I wanted to still have the sports aspect, but still had something I was interested in. Once that was over, I ended up landing an internship in the events with the Redskins. So diehard Redskins fan, thought it was a good opportunity to watch the games for free.
Right.
And also learn a new aspect of sports. It's not exactly what I wanted to do, but at that point I was like, I just need to expose myself to see what I want, see what, you know, my passions are. Did that, ended up graduating from Bowie State University, December 2011. When I was looking for full-time employment, I didn't want to get right into sports because everyone was telling me, you need to just go into sales, just get into ticket sales and then try to work your way up.
Right.
And I was like, no, the pay wasn't that good. And I'm like, I want to focus on becoming a world-rounded professional. And so I ended up getting a full-time internship at Lockheed Martin.
Okay.
In communications and marketing. Which was great, because that at the time they were like the Fortune 43rd company in the world, and so I feel like that was a good opportunity for me right out of school to just really hone my skills as an overall professional. So during that time, I also started pursuing my master's in management marketing at UMUC, and then I also landed an internship with Monumental Sports Entertainment in marketing and promotions.
Right. Okay.
So I had my job, I had my internship in marketing, and then I was pursuing my master's at the same time. That went on. Lockheed Martin ended up hiring me full-time after my internship was over. I credit Lockheed Martin and the time I spent there with, you know, some of the reasons I've been able to win some of the awards and accolades, because I was forced to become just a well-rounded professional because they hire the best of the best. And so worked with them for 2.5 years, ended up earning my master's in management marketing, and then took on the internship with Monumental Sports Entertainment, and also went back just to volunteer and offer my assistance, just to stay acclimated with some of the people that work there. So I got to 2.5 years and I'm like, look, I'm ready to get back into sports. I'm ready to see what full-time job is available.
Right.
I wanted to stay local. And I looked up, I'm like, the NFL Player Association, what is that? I'm like, well, let's see what they have opening and see if there's something that fits my interest. So I go online and I find one job opening. So I click on the job description and it says player development manager. And it says in this role, you'll help current NFL players transition to life after football. That was the first sentence.
Yeah, that spoke
immediately
to you.
When I read that. I know. Immediately when I read that, it took me back to December 3rd, 2006, when I fractured my skull, my life
right.
changed, and I had to transition from life after football. And the transition was tough. I was at rock bottom with just my thoughts, my depression, and all that, but I was able to kind of work and get my life back and find that balance again and then become successful. a lot of people that would call successful.
That's great.
So you know what the heck? Let me apply. I didn't have the skills, interest, anything like the experience. They wanted nothing. Applied, got on. No, nothing at all. I was like, let me.
I have
apply.
Nothing you want, but I'm gonna apply for it anyway.
You're right.
Yeah.
I was like, let me just go for it. And then so I applied and I found the hiring manager on LinkedIn.
Okay, great.
And I wrote her the nicest note. Honestly, just said, hey, you know, I work at Lockheed Martin right now. I want to get my foot back into sports. Had a traumatic injury, and I think I can offer some assistance in this role.
Yeah.
She literally called me because of the note that I wrote her. Offered me a phone interview. Phone interview went well. They bought me in person. And I just talked to them about some of the things that I dealt with. Talked to them about, you know, hitting rock bottom, some of the thoughts that I had in terms of transitioning, but also, you know, carrying a chip on my shoulder. Like I wanted to kind of prove myself wrong and what the stereotypes are and the stigmas around people that deal with PTSD and brain injuries, depression, suicidal thoughts. I wanted to still use that as a chip on my shoulder to keep moving forward in terms of my professional educational growth. And so they loved it. They ate it up because they thought that I can show and have the empathy I would need in that role to help players transition.
Exactly.
It's just, there's similarities. So they hired me. that was 4 years ago. And so that role has evolved so much into not only just professional development and player development for current NFL players, but just overall player engagement and athlete relations. So here I am now 4 years later.
That's impressive. I mean, I there's a lot of things that stuck out to me in your description of your journey. Let's go back a little bit there. One of the things that you mentioned that really stood out was that the importance of after you had the traumatic brain injury and you know your career is done playing, that you had a mentor that kind of helped you through the process a little bit. How much did having that senior advisor or mentor or however you'd quantify them, how much did they help you kind of recalibrate or refigure out your goals and your dreams and where you wanted to go next? How important was that person in your life?
Oh, it was critical. Because there's somebody that, you know, at some point in her life dealt with transition, dealt with tough times. And it's always good to get that wisdom and the knowledge and insight into those specific instances or areas that I'm dealing with. And so in terms of my overall growth, she's one of those people that can quote unquote see around the corner for me.
Yeah.
Here's something to think about. Even though you cannot play football anymore and the passion and the love you have for the game, you can replace that in other areas. What else are you interested about? And I'm like, I don't know. Right. So like, that's where exposure comes into play. You have to get to a point where you're exposing yourself to different areas of interest to see what you like and see what you don't like. I remember her telling me, you're at the age now where if you jump into something you don't like it, cross it off the list and try something new.
Yeah.
Like you're at a point where you can make mistakes in terms of your career or find things that you don't really like and then start to figure out what you do. And that always stuck with me. And she was just a great voice of knowledge and a positive voice in my life too. With all the things that I was dealing with in terms of psychologically, she was some person I can go to that can pump me up and talk to me about all the things that I've overcome and some of the stereotypes that come with the things that I've dealt with and where I'm at now. So she played a huge part in where I'm at today, and I still go back and talk to her to this day.
That's great. It sounds like writing actually took on a very almost therapeutic form for you, but then also helped you figure out that next goal and dream. What was it that led you to the writing side of things? And I mean, I feel very much the same way. Like I became more of a writer later in my career because I found it to be a great way to express myself. What was it about the writing for you that helped you kind of find that next goal?
Yeah. I just think just getting out everything that I had built up inside of me.
Yeah.
I think from just dealing with it from the post-traumatic stress disorder front, it was like the thoughts, the feelings, the emotions that I had, I was able to get out. And to deal with it from a career aspect, I love the idea of just storytelling. Right, talking to something and putting something in my own voice and adding spin to it and making it witty.
Yeah.
I just feel like I just like the fact of just making something come alive on paper. And from that, it evolved. So it went from just having a passion for communications. And I didn't know it was there even when I was in high school. So I was the editor-in-chief of our school newspaper.
Okay.
You know, just developing and honing that skill in writing and having it evolve, because it went from just writing and overall what you can call journalism to just overall communications. And then that went to marketing, which is why I got my undergrad in communications and went to pursue my master's in marketing, because I think all those areas go hand in hand and play off each other very well.
Oh, totally true. So let's expand upon your role in player development. You and I spoke a little bit before we started the interview, and that you're working with a lot of the rookies now as they kind of transition into the league and their expectations. But What was it like for you when you first got into the role? What was it, what were kind of your assignments, and how were you kind of thrust into a role in with the NFLPA?
It was an interesting part. So I went from working in corporate communications to sports.
Right.
And it was just two different dynamics. And so with this role, it was a brand new role. I had a boss that I was reporting to, but she never had anyone working under her.
Okay.
So I came in, I'm like, is there a portfolio? Is there a file, anything? No. And so what I did was I looked at what the role entailed, and I looked at, okay, what programs and resources do we have in place for players to help them with their development off the field? And now I became, become an understanding of what those are and become informative about what those programs and resources entail and how they aided players. I'm like, okay, my background is in marketing and communications, so let me focus on that. How are we promoting these resources to players?
Okay.
And then that's where I start unpacking some things that I think that we lacked. And I wanted to find a way where I can add value in that, because that's the experience that I had. Yeah, I lacked the experience of working in sports or just the overall player development and the educational experience that they wanted. But I knew that I had a skill in marketing and promotions that I could use. And so one of the first areas that I worked on was the website. Let's build out a section on NFLPA.com that houses information about the programs and resources we have.
Okay.
So once we do that, we can encourage and point guys back to that. And so that's the first thing I worked on. And then from there, I worked on overall just communication plan. What's the outreach like to players? How do we make going back to school and getting your degree, quote unquote, sexy? How do we encourage players that are still playing in the NFL to start thinking about their second careers while they're still playing? Right. And that's where the fun part came in, because like you can get creative. Like, how do I encourage a guy to get more out of the NFL than what it gets out of them while they're still playing? Because everything that they face tells them to only focus on football, football, football. But football is only, the average career span is 3.5 years.
Yep.
How do I get a guy to think about the rest of his life, which is going to last far beyond the game? And so I found passion in that. So I just started focusing on the job from a marketing and communications perspective.
How open do you think the players are to it? I mean, I'm sure it's changed over since you've started, but I mean, it seems like it might be a hard sell to some, and other people might really get it. Like, I know that this is a short lifespan in the league, and I need help in this way. Was it hard for you to kind of convince people this was something they needed, or was it, did the doors start to open once you started to get involved and start talking to people?
Great question, actually. So I came in with this preconceived notion, oh, this will be easy. You know, I have the background. I work in communications. I have the master's and I have the degree. Oh, it's totally different than what I thought. Because all the dynamics that these guys face, you know, looking at some of the challenges that they face even coming into the league, you know, thinking about the fact that a lot of the guys come from poverty-stricken neighborhoods, single family homes. Football was the only way out. Never had an internship. Never had a resume. That all they focus on, what got them to where they are, is football, football, football.
Yeah.
And so you had a guy coming here and thinking about, hey, let's put that on pause and have you start thinking about a second career while you're still focused on the job you have. Now, even if you strip away the football player aspect, if you tell anybody that in general, that's difficult, right? It's challenging to think about, I have a full-time job, but let me think about what's next now.
Right.
I can say in the 4 years, it's evolved though. So I think players are at a point now where they understand that there's more to the game than just playing on Sundays.
Yeah.
Like, gone are the days of football players just being football players. They see that through social media, through the documentaries on ESPN about players going broke, to the stereotypes that are associated with them. They understand that their career span is long. And I think guys are starting to understand that, okay, during this 3.5 years, 4 years, how do I use what I have and what I've earned, the dream that I've reached, the pinnacle of my career? How do I use that to prepare for what's next?
Right.
That's the goal. You can still play, but how can you use what you got and the access you have and the leverage you have to grow and help you in your second career? And it's always good for a guy, for those guys to focus about it while they're still playing, because doors open. Once you become a foreign player, some of the calls stop, some of the opportunities go away.
Yep.
These guys can literally walk into any company they want to and get an internship based on the fact that they're NFL players. Utilize that.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell guys all the time. While you're a football player, it's a good time to network and expose yourself. Yep. Expose yourself in order to figure out what else you're passionate about outside of football. You won't know until you jump out there and try it. And it's crazy when I talk to guys about that, because that's what I did. Like, okay, I can no longer play football because of my brain injury. What else am I passionate about? Well, let me just jump out there and try different internships and volunteer opportunities and job shadowing and then something will stick. And so that's what I encourage guys to do. But yes, I think it's changed. The 4 years that I've been with the PA, I think we've done a better job of just marketing opportunities to guys and putting to guys in a way they can accept it and see, okay, yeah, I see the tangible benefit in this and the long-term effect that it can have on my life.
You know, it's funny, when I was in my 20s, and trust me, I was not an NFL level athlete by any stretch, but I think in my 20s, I felt indestructible, like nothing bad could happen to me. Like I could conquer anything just because it's almost like an attitude of the age, right? And then, you know, you slowly that changes over time and you start to realize that you are mortal and things can happen to you or whatever. I wonder if players, when they, you mentioned before that, you're dealing with a lot of the rookies coming into the league now. I wonder if their attitude changes from their first entering the league and they think they're unstoppable versus second, third, fourth year in the league, starting to realize that, okay, this is a lot harder than I thought it would be, or the end is nearer than I thought it would be. Does their attitude change as they get a little deeper in their career?
I think it has, and it does from the rookies. So I've been in this role working with rookies the past 2 years. This has been to my third year, and 100%. I mean, so they come into the league, right when they step into the league, they're going against grown men. Grown men that have to feed their families. Grown men that have to pay their mortgage. Like, they have to compete, and training camp is a competition and the biggest job they need in their life. So I think right when that happens, it hits them, because the dedication to your craft comes into play, how your health comes into play, how you're recovering, how you're working out, the time you put. Those are the things that I think the biggest things that show the difference between a guy coming in from college to the pros is just the preparation into the game. The game is easy. They can play the game. They got there.
Right.
It's the preparation aspect of it. Like the time and effort they put into their bodies. That's something that always sticks out to a rookie. They're like, man, I need to go see a masseuse. Or I need to take Friday off and go and rest and get off my feet. It's those things, the preparation in terms of their health and their bodies that they think about. And then too, I also think when they get into the league, they do hear about the career span, the average career span, the average career span. It's 3.5 years. Guys know that. We tell them that, not to scare them, just to make them understand, hey, look, 3.5 years is the average.
Yeah.
Your goal, obviously, we want you to play far beyond that, but that's the average. You got 3 years minimum to do an amazing job. And it starts right now. Your rookie year counts as your first year. And so I think we've done a better job in that too than the union. I think the league does too, in just terms of like just teaching guys and making the game safer, making them their bodies last longer, and in terms of like training camp and less time practicing and things like that. But I think that would be the biggest difference, is just the overall preparation to the game.
You know, in my media career, I got very used to dealing with different athletes at different levels. And one of the things I always picked up on is that everybody's asking them for something, right? I'm asking them for an interview. Somebody else is asking them for money or to invest in their business or an autograph. But you flip this around in a way where you're willing and looking to give them something. How much does that, like, are they skeptical almost at first? Like, I'm so used to people wanting things from me that I'm not sure I trust this person. Or are you like a breath of fresh air where they're like, all right, this guy's on my side and actually looking to help me?
Yeah, 100% breath of fresh air, right? When you look at a player and you look at their ecosystem of people, you got coaches, families, managers, agents, marketing reps.
Yeah.
Each one of those ecosystems, not saying they don't have the player's best interest at heart, but each one of those people in the ecosystem will need something from the player at some point.
Yep.
My role is literally to serve players. Like, I work on behalf of the players, and I remind myself and them that all the time. Like, without them, I don't have a job. And so my goal and what I'm tasked with from my bosses and leadership is, how do I work on the betterment of the players, and how do I serve them? Yeah. That's what I'm greater than at the end of the day. And that's what I love about the job, and that's why I'm so passionate about it, because that's what I like just in general, just Dior. Like, I love working and serving people. And now I have a job where I'm doing that. And that's where I think the empathy comes into play too, knowing the transition, because that's what a player's career is. It's just transition. You transition in, you transition through, and you transition out. And transition of any kind is hard. If you're transitioning from high school to college, that's difficult. Transitioning from college to the world, that's difficult. Transition in and out of relationships, those are difficult. My job is to fill those gaps. And I tell guys straight, I build relationships. Like, I'm a diehard sports fan, diehard Redskins fan. I think in the 4 years now that I've spent at the PA, I'm a more fan of the men than the game itself. And I just want to be able to help them, because I think the game is going to get as much as they want out of it. The NFL will get as much as they want out of guys. My goal is to make sure guys are getting more out of the game than what it gets out of them. So at the end of the day, I get the phone calls from guys sitting on their bed like, hey, thank you, because without you, I wouldn't have this job with, as a director of player meeting for the Rams.
Yeah.
Or I wouldn't be working in construction management. And those are the things that make me, you know, proud in the role that I have, because I'm in a position where I can affect a man's life, not just a player, but just a man in general.
So we have this private Facebook group with about 600 of our listeners in it. And before every interview, I ask that group if they have any specific questions they want me to ask. Well, one of our most loyal listeners, a girl named Kirsten Nelson, has been asking me for months to get somebody in player development on the show. So congratulations. You're the star. I finally came through for her.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, Kirsten's wanted to work in player development herself. She did some internships with the Denver Broncos and some other places in sports, but she hasn't been able to get that full-time job. So she asks, it looks like you spent some time outside of the sports industry, referring to your time at Lockheed Martin. How did you manage to get back into it and in the player development area?
That's a great question. So, and I think I mentioned this earlier in the podcast, I think my time that I spent outside of sports is the reason that I've been able to get back into sports and been so successful with the Forbes 30 and 30 and the Washington Business Journal and things like that. It's because I looked at it like I wanted to become a well-rounded professional, strip away the sports or the industry in general. I wanted to be young, coming out of school, when an employer looks at me to say, this guy's professional. He can write emails. He can show up on time. And I think sometimes that's a lost art, because I think sometimes we're so quick to get into sports. But I think performance for me was the time that I spent out of sports prepared me, and it allowed me to kind of boost my resume, gain some experience and volunteer work that I need. So when it was time for me to get back into like professional development, or when I was looking to get back into sports, my resume was packed. My LinkedIn had, you know, volunteer opportunities on it,
yep.
Had notable achievements, and it just became more well-versed. My resume wasn't just a bunch of sports internships, and not saying that's bad, or sports jobs, and it's not saying that's bad, but I think having the mix of sports and corporate world and the volunteer work and organization that I started, it just showed people that I was a well-rounded individual. And so for me, getting into the player development area, I think I don't want to say got lucky, but there was a position open at that time.
Yep.
But for someone that's looking to get into this area now, my biggest suggestion is go to teams and prove that some of these teams need a player development person. There are a lot of D1 schools that are adding player development people, because the goal, the idea is let's get the guys younger and start talking to guys younger about the development off the field. Because you look in college, 7%, 1% of the guys that play come forward and get to the league. Like,
yep.
So there's a need for the player professional development in that space too, in terms of encouraging guys to think about what else they're passionate about outside of football. Where there's some D1 schools that don't have that, present that.
Yeah.
Talk to some of the player engagement people around. Talk to me. See how you can put together a package where you can go to a D1 school and say, hey, I know you may not have a space or position for player development, but this is how I think it can benefit your team or benefit your university. Go to some of the teams. All 32 teams have a director of player engagement, whose part of their job is professional development, player development. A lot of them don't have coordinators or somebody working under them, and a lot of them need it, because they not only handle the player development space, they handle a ton of other things too. Go to those teams and pitch the idea to them.
That's great.
I know with the Denver Broncos, I don't think they have a coordinator or assistant. They just have a director of player engagement. Why can't Kristen be the one that be the player development coordinator and pitch to them what that role will look like and how she can assist in terms of guys and their player development? And so that's how I would attack it. I was looking to get in this area in today's age.
That's awesome. Kirsten also had two quick follow-ups. What is the most rewarding part of your job? And are there any women that work in the player development branch of the NFL? Is that a harder role for women to get into, or are there other women doing it?
Yeah, so I'll start with the most rewarding part of my job is probably the relationships I'm able to build with the men. So, you know, I watch TV, you see in the news, you see on social media. I think the guys take a ton of shit sometimes.
Yeah.
But I get to see these guys as men. There's things they struggle with on a daily basis. I'll never forget, I got a call from a guy that had just got cut, and he told me he was sitting on his bed with his wife trying to figure out how he was going to pay the mortgage as she had a child on the way. You know, and it's just like, damn, like that's where I come in and can say, hey, let's put a plan in place.
Yeah.
What else are you passionate about? What did you get your degree in? Let's get you some internships, some job shadowing opportunities. And I remember he shared with another colleague of mine at some point, like, if it wasn't for Dior, man, I don't know what I would have done. And so I think that's the most rewarding part, is knowing that I'm affecting, like, not only just them, but to their families. Like, I'm playing a big part in life and helping them kind of grow off the field. So that's probably the most rewarding part of my job. In terms of women that work in player development, I think there's a preconceived notion or stereotype around the fact that women can't work in the sports, women can't be in a locker room. I think that's totally false. I think women do a great job. We actually hired a young lady in my role that I have. There's two more of me. So there, we have another player manager, Connor Ford. We hired another young lady engaging with athletes. Her name is Alana Levitt. Does an amazing job of engaging with athletes. I think we're seeing a shift. I think people are noticing that women are more than capable of working in the space, more than capable of being knowledgeable about sports, and specifically football. I know I saw a tweet the other day that I think 44% of the social media accounts run by NFL teams are run by women, right? And that shouldn't be mind-boggling. Women can do the job.
Yeah.
It's all about, do you have empathy? Can you help a guy in terms of his growth and provide him with an action plan that they can act on, that you can follow up with? At the end of the day, help them reach the goals that they have. And I think women, men, anybody can do that job.
That's great. We'll finish up with this, because I know you're a busy guy and you've got a big offseason ahead of you. You're under 30. You get named to the Forbes 30 Under 30, which is a huge honor. Congratulations to that. You have a ton of experience in sports, in business, and in life. If a young person, say somebody about to embark on their college career, came up to you and said, hey, I want to work in the sports industry just like you, what kind of advice would you share with them?
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a big one. Yep.
And so first of all, though, thank you too for the accolades. I mean, and the recognition and the awards. I appreciate that. But I think my biggest piece of advice for somebody trying to get into this industry is, at some point, find out what's going to motivate you to get to where you want to be. Like, you have to find something that's going to wake you up. The people that are working in sports, they didn't just get handed opportunity. This is an industry that a ton of people want to work in, just like entertainment, just like music. People love sports. People want to work in sports. So you have to find that thing that's going to motivate you. For me, it was the brain injury, the stereotypes that came with that. You know, being raised by a single mom. You know, all of these things I packed together. And instead of using it to say, all right, this is the reason why I know I'm not going to make it, I put the chip on my shoulder and I got up at 6 a.m. I was able to do two jobs and pursue my master's. I was able to go to bed at 1 a.m. and wake back up at 6 because I knew I had a goal in mind. But you got to, each person that's trying to get into this industry, you have to find that motivation, that passion, because that's what's going to separate you. Like, at the end of the day, young people looking to get into this industry, whether you're in school or an intern, you got to look at yourself as equal to everybody else. Your GPA is going to be equal. Or somewhat, your university that you go to being at a top D1 school is going to be equal at some point.
Yep.
An employer is going to see that. An employer is going to look for what's going to separate you from the next person. And you have to find that thing that's going to separate you. And so that's probably the piece of advice I would give to somebody looking to get into this industry. It's not hard. Become a well-rounded professional. That's the focus, right? Strip away industries, strip away areas that you want to work in. It's how do you become an overall well-rounded professional? Because all the employers know, I'm hiring somebody that's looking to get into this industry at entry level. You don't know anything. You shouldn't know anything. But I want to find somebody that's professional and somebody that's willing and able to learn. I'll teach you everything. I don't expect you to know it all. But you have to be willing, open, to learn. I have to be able to start with something. And that professionalism is key. That's why my time at Lockheed Martin was so important. I think if I had to try to jump straight into sports out of college, I don't think I would have won the Forbes 30 Under 30 or any of the other recognitions. It was the 2 years I spent at Lockheed to hone my skills that then prepared me for this industry and what it has to offer.
Dior, that's fantastic. This was all such great advice. And just to live your journey a little bit through your eyes has been so much fun for me. And I know our audience is going to love it. So thank you so much for your time today.
No, thank you for having me. And I also want to thank you just for, you know, providing the platform. I think that's also, people miss that a little bit sometimes, but allowing people to hear other people's story and that somebody will find a motivation in that. So I appreciate you for providing that platform to share some of these stories. And
oh, thanks, Dior. Without trying to sound too preachy, now is the time to do a little self-reflection. How are you approaching your goals? Are you the type to sit back and blame the system for being too competitive? Hate on the fact you aren't getting interviews or that your internship didn't turn into a full-time job? Next time you're wallowing in your story, take a minute, get it out of your system, and reflect on Dior's story. Traumatic brain injury, fractured skull, memory loss, dream shattered. He battled the demons and came out the other side a better person. That's the lesson here. Sure, we learned a ton about being a player manager for the NFL Players Association, a role I knew nothing about prior to this interview. That part was exciting. But the story behind the man bestowed with the honor of Forbes 30 Under 30, now that's the part you need to remember. That's it for this week. Thanks to Dior Guignard. It was a real pleasure.